Today on The Journey.
Here's a way you battle complacency. You train yourself to be godly. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Do it in a way that people can say, hey, what's that energy all about?
You've worked really hard in the trenches to provide for your family and to serve the Lord. Now the temptation is to coast through the remainder of your days. But Ron Moore and men's minister Tun Jilkin are here to tell you that that's not God's plan. In this broadcast, they talk about keeping your motivation high and your legacy of obedience protected. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms, from the book of Joshua, that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. Now, here are Ron and Tunch with a discussion they've titled, Under Attack, Complacency, on The Journey.
Joining me in a special series on men's issues is Tunch Jilkin, a 14-year veteran of the National Football League. Tunch is also the pastor of men's ministry here at the Bible Chapel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we're involved in a series called Engaging in the Battle. And it's so critical that guys listening engage in the battle. We're looking at the different terrains. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're focused now on the strategic box of the flesh, and we know that as the world pours stuff at us and the devil comes at us, the flesh is that stuff that boils up inside of us. We talked last time about pride, and sometimes when we think we're being humble, we look at it and said, you know what, I'm being very proud in that instance. And so the flesh has an amazing way of boiling up in sinful outbursts within us, and we got to keep it in check.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, not only do we need to know the terrain of the battle, we got to know we're in a battle. We're battling for our marriages, we're battling for our children, we're battling for our churches, our neighborhoods, our communities. We're in a battle. And if you don't know that, then you're going to be in for a rude awakening when it becomes very, very evident.
We're addressing this series to men because we believe it's so important to be able to really focus and aim at some of the issues that we know men deal with. But I got to tell you, as women, as wives, as mothers, you need to know what your husband, what your son is dealing with. The challenges, the frustrations, the temptations. It's so important because you need to be praying for them. You need to be encouraging them.
Right.
And so this is a series aimed at men, but believe me, we are not leaving women out of the equation. We know the critical aspect you play. And let's be real, these are issues of the heart. And so women are going to be dealing with a lot of these issues as well.
Yeah, we need your help.
Yeah.
We all need help. That's why we need each other. That's why we do this.
From the very beginning, God said you need a helper.
That's right.
Adam. And we still need the help of our wives and young men, their mothers.
Yeah.
We have looked at the battlefield of insecurity, the challenges of lust, the challenges of anger, the challenges of pride. Tunch, today we want to look at complacency. Specifically, how does a man who has been a Christian a long time keep motivated to stay in active service for Christ? Do you see guys losing their motivation in their walk with Christ?
I have. Here's the culture we live in. Work really hard, put money in your 401k, retire, and go to Florida. And there's this feeling that when I get to 65 or 70 or 62 and a half, whatever the magic age is, now I can just coast. And so when you grow up in this culture with that attitude, there is something about the beach that becomes very alluring, or the golf course, or fishing, or choose your escape. Guys that I see this in, they've worked hard for a long time. Life has thrown challenges at them, and there is this thought that once we get to that point, that there's rest, and that this rest will all of a sudden heal the burden of the past. Well, that ain't what happens.
I use the phrase sliding for home. Life is kind of on the base pass. And when you slide for home, you get up, you walk to the dugout, and you set back down.
Right.
And a lot of guys, let's be honest, they slide for home. So here's a guy, worked hard, served Christ. What causes a person to slide for home like that?
I don't know why men want to slide into home, but I'm going to guess that whole, I'm done, my kids are grown, I've put my 40 years in, and I'm tired. And so there is this thought that, hey, I got nowhere to go, and I have nothing to do. If I want to play golf, I will. If I want to go to the mall, I'll do it. Whatever it is that's easy, my flesh now craves ease. Now, I know what that's like, to grind, 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 and then really look forward to the vacation. I'm ready for 7 days of hiking, the beach, whatever it is. So I think people look at retirement as a perpetual vacation. And once I get there, man, oh, my body is just going to say, ah.
You know, I've seen guys get to the later stages of their life and they become discouraged. It doesn't have to be the later stages. They could be going through a great stretch, but they become discouraged. A term that's not used as much anymore, but midlife crisis. You kind of get to the point where you realize you're not going to be the president of the company. You're not going to own your own company like you thought you were. You're not going to be promoted to the place you thought you were going to be. And the realization of that causes a discouragement, a disillusionment maybe inside, and guys try to find that satisfaction in something else. The death of a dream. You know, you've always had this dream. This is what was going to happen, but it can't happen.
Right.
And so there are a lot of reasons, I think, that guys lose their motivation. But our challenge to ourselves and those listening is this. There is no retirement in the Christian life. There is no sliding for home. And we do have to be those who stay motivated to serve Christ. Now, we also have to realize that life takes a cycle of emotions. And you may have been involved in a tremendous season of ministry or service, and you need time to recoup spiritually, to get back in the Word on your own, not to prepare for a lesson or whatever, but just for yourself. So it's not that you're checking out of ministry. You just need time, as we need time to physically recoup, or any time to spiritually recoup.
Right.
But there are some that goes deeper than that, and they just lost their spiritual energy.
I've seen it. And one of the ways to remedy that is to pour your life in the life of a younger man. I mean, nothing makes you feel more alive. And that's where I sometimes get frustrated, because I really want to get the older guys to mentor the middle-aged guys, because I'm not looking for perfect guys. I'm looking for weathered guys. They didn't do everything perfect, that they made their mistakes. So now when you speak in to the life of a younger man, your experience will be invaluable to these guys.
You lead our men's ministry here at the Bible Chapel and do a fantastic job with that. You have groups you call huddle groups that are kind of like life groups or small groups. The Old Pro Ministry is a ministry started to get a more mature believer hooked up with a guy right in the throes of the battle, right? We're all in a battle, but this guy's, you know, the marriage and young kids and the whole thing. One of the frustrations is a lot of guys won't do that.
Right. And I don't understand why. It's not like the sign says, wanted, perfect Christian man who's done everything right. I don't want that guy. I want the guy that has lived life, that's been beat up a little bit. And the beauty of it is the mistakes of an older man that can speak truth to a younger man. I can't express it with enough passion that it is such a tremendous blessing. I heard Mike Singletary speak a long time ago, and he was talking about coaching young people. And he said, is there any greater words to hear than a young man that you've coached or discipled or mentored comes to you and says, thanks, you impacted my life. For me, that gets it. We have that opportunity. Hey, we're getting pretty close to this age, by the way. Did you have you thought about that? How's it going? Okay, we're almost 60. Now we're closer to 60 than we are 50. So I guess what I'm saying is that there is great joy, there's tremendous blessing, and there's great fulfillment. I was talking to a guy that was very, very involved in the Promise Keepers movement. This guy is 70 years old, and he meets one-on-one with seven different guys a week. Now, he's retired, but he's still in full-time ministry.
So I want to hit this one more time, and then we're going to look at some passages of Scripture here. There's a guy out there. There's a woman out there.
Yeah.
And their ears are perking up a little bit because they think, okay, I've been through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Could I use that in the life of a younger person? And then as soon as they think that, they think, oh, wait. I just failed too miserably. God can't use me. How could I mentor another person having failed the way I did?
I just got one word, recovery. The people in the recovery world, they minister to one another. An addict in recovery is probably one of the best mentors that a guy that just is getting sober. So look, we all come from brokenness. I don't know anybody who hasn't failed. I don't know anybody who hasn't done it the wrong way. I mean, if I meet that guy, I want to know what that's like because I've never seen it. So you have great value when we have guys with special needs that come into our ministry. Mm-hmm. If a guy has fallen into an adulterous affair, we will funnel him into a guy who has come out of that,
right,
and his marriage has recovered from that, and he has recovered. If a guy is dealing with drug addiction or pornography addiction, there is a guy in our men's ministry that I'm going to funnel that right. guy, someone who's experienced it. And so that's what makes this so good. It is my experience, or your experience, will help the next generation.
Mm-hmm. We need individuals who can explain God's grace of recovery.
Yeah, amen.
The guy who leads the recovery group here at the chapel, you ask him, what were you addicted to?
He said everything. Everything. So I love Jeff. He said, you know,
a closet full of t-shirts.
Right. Go, that's right. And that's why, I'll tell you what, he's got a very effective ministry.
Yeah.
Because he speaks from experience. And he speaks not only of experience of the addiction, but speaks of the transforming power of Jesus Christ through his addiction.
So there's a guy listening. Maybe you've had an affair. Maybe you have wandered away from the faith for a particular time. And you're wondering, can God use me because of what I've done? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. You come back to him by grace. As Tunch said, when someone falls morally, there's a guy I call and say, I just learned that so-and-so has fallen morally. Will you meet with him? And he'll say, you know, I hate it that I have this ministry.
Right.
I wish I hadn't have done it, but I can minister Amen. To that person. And we can say, man, I'm sorry it happened as well, but it did. And by God's grace, you did come back and you repented of your sin. You're broken and messed up like all of us.
Right.
We all are different areas. And you can minister to that guy and you can help him take that path back to recovery as well. Man, that's rich ministry.
Because what's important is not that I can give another man information or a mentor can give me information. It's that he gives me his life.
So we're talking about complacency, and what we're saying is one way to battle complacency is to get involved.
Right.
Use your life experiences to impact others for Jesus Christ. That's certainly what Paul did. I always think if anyone could have said, man, God could never use me. That's
right.
The Apostle Paul. There he stands watching individuals be put to death. He's on his way to Damascus. He's going to put Christians to death there, and God interrupts his life, transforms his life. When God saved him, it was like he was going to burn himself out
right.
for the message of Jesus Christ. In chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, verse 6, Paul said, if you point these things out to the brothers, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, brought up in the truths of the faith and in the good teaching that you have followed. Then he says this, have nothing to do with godly myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself. And that's the word gymnazo. We get the word gymnasium from it.
Uh-huh.
And in that day, the athlete would spend all day training at the gym. And Paul says he trained himself to be godly. He disciplined himself. He wasn't just going to sit and sour. He got up and he trained himself for godliness. For physical training, he said, is of some value.
Some
we know that.
That's right.
But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and, more importantly, the life to come. So one anecdote for complacency is getting involved in the game, training right. yourself for godliness.
If we are truly training ourselves for godliness, I don't think we become complacent.
Right.
Because God doesn't let you sit. He doesn't let you stew. He makes you move. And you can't read the word. You can't read 1st and 2nd Timothy as an older guy and not say, man, maybe I need to be pouring into the life of a younger man. I mean, it's just throughout Paul's last two letters.
Paul goes on in chapter 4 of 1st Timothy to say, be diligent in these matters. give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. I love that. We need to live lives where people can say, you know what, they're further along today than they were yesterday, yeah, and further along this year than they were. I see growth in their life.
Yeah. So as you are diligent in these matters, if you give yourself wholly to them, there is a fruit that comes out of you that you can't avoid. You know, I had an old buddy, Chuck Irwin, who to the moment he passed, he was telling people about Jesus. Hmm. And he did it with such enthusiasm. I heard that he was passing, and I called and I talked to his wife and I said, how's Chuck doing? And she said, it's Tunch. And I heard him go, tell him to come over here. So went to see him, and the joy to the very last moment, he was praising God and saying, I know what God has for me. I'm not afraid. That doesn't come magically. Mm-hmm. It comes from giving yourself wholeheartedly to God. That's it, man. You look at those guys and you just go, wow.
So Paul says, here's a way you battle complacency. You train yourself to be godly. You're reading the word, you're in worship, you're connected with other believers, you're using your gift to serve, you're sharing the message with other people. We call those the five essentials. Yeah. You are in those. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Do it in a way that people can say, hey, there's some life in that guy. There's some growth. That's attractive. People want to know, what's that energy all about?
And for us younger guys, it's like, hey, I want to be like that. Mm-hmm. I want to be that guy. For the non-believer who is watching going, why is he that way? Look at him. He should be on a beach somewhere, but he's not. He's walking the streets, and he's praying, and he's telling people about Jesus. Now, that's something that is so out of character for our culture that you can't help but take notice.
Paul says, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. Mm-hmm. So you're not only going to make an impact on your own life.
Right.
Now, Paul's not talking about if you don't, you're losing your salvation.
No, no, no.
But you're going to make an impact on your own life and those who watch you and those who hear you.
Yeah. You know, I think about it all the time that we're leaving a legacy. Regardless, good or bad, that's up to us. But we are leaving a legacy, whether it is to the next generation, our children, whether it's to our grandchildren, whether it's to our neighbors, whether it's to the people that we minister to. So one of the things is that when I'm looking up to guys that do it well to the very end, what an encouragement that is. Mm. What a blessing to me. So I know that people are watching me, and that's not a prideful thing. That's the reality of life.
Another way to battle complacency is what Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul, throughout his life, demonstrates his desire, his commitment, his dedication, his fervor for growing in Jesus Christ. And here's what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ. You say, Paul, man, you knew Christ. No, Paul says, I got to get deeper. I want to know Christ. One of the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection. I want to know Christ. I always think about that, Tunch. I think what a statement Paul is making. He's a believer, but he's saying, I want to know Christ in a more intimate and deep way. I want to be really acquainted with Jesus. And I'm convicted as I think about that. You know, we can get so tied up in teaching and doing stuff that we say, wait a second, what's all this about?
Right.
It's about knowing Christ.
Yeah. You know, I love these words too, and the intimacy. And then he goes on to say, and to share in the fellowship of his suffering.
Yeah. We want to leave that one out.
I was kind of hoping, I mean, that's true knowledge of him. And it is my desire to know that. I know that sometimes that brings hardships and challenges and tough times because my flesh desires ease. I love the way Paul says that. And Paul says that knowing that he will suffer. Jesus made it clear to him that it wasn't going to be an easy ride for Paul.
Yeah.
And so for him to say that, I think, is intimacy with the Lord.
Paul goes on to say, not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Man, that's a powerful statement. Christ took hold of me for something big and something meaningful and something satisfying, and I don't want to miss that. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then he says it again, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, I cannot change my past.
Right.
And straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
For all those guys that are listening that maybe want to say, but look, you don't know what I've done. Once again, Paul says, I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm not looking in the rearview mirror. That's gone. Mm-hmm. But I'm pressing forward to take hold of the prize that Christ has already taken hold of me. So the beauty of that is there is this release of the past that God says, mm-hmm. I can use you today. If you can forget that, I've already forgotten. And mm-hmm. I think that's the beauty of that. And so the point is, okay, it is not what have I done. It's all right, what am I going to do now? So I don't care how old I am or how old you are. But what next? What am I going to do now? The past, gone. Mm-hmm. There is a future, and God has something for me. Am I willing to take that step?
When I was in high school, the Oklahoma State Cowboys were always terrible. Mm-hmm. Football team, always terrible. And I'll never forget one year, their slogan was, press on.
Yeah.
And I always laughed at that. I thought, you guys are terrible. Press on. But I look at that and say, you know what? No matter if you lose the last game, you press on. You right. win the last game, you press on. The older I get, the more I realize what a fitting motto for life. I am broken. I have failed. I press on in Christ. I forget what's behind. I may have won. I may have lost. It really doesn't matter.
Right.
Yesterday's win, I got to keep pressing on.
Right.
I can't get complacent in the win. I failed yesterday. I keep pressing on. I can't be paralyzed by the fall. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
When people would say, how you doing? I used to say, I'm hanging in there. And then I forget who it was, but someone said, not me, I'm pressing on. And I went, wow, I like that.
That's good.
That was good. And so I stopped saying, I'm hanging in there. I started saying, I'm pressing on. We are victors in Christ. So I'm going to be like Paul.
So for those of you struggling with complacency, you've been at the same spot for way too long. It's time to discipline yourself with the spiritual disciplines of reading God's word on a daily basis, of praying on a daily basis, of worshiping with other believers, of singing the great songs of the faith and lifting up the name of Christ, of being connected with other believers so that they can spur you on. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. To know what your gift is and serve. It may be up front, it may be behind the scenes, but God has given you at least one gift if you're a believer, and you need to use it to spur others on. You need to use it to serve others, and then to tell others about Christ, to let other people know that, hey, here's how Jesus changed my life. That's the remedy for complacency.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Tunch for a preview of our next broadcast.
Having a fulfilling, physical, intimate life at home does dull the desire outside of the home. That's one of the things I think that's really important for wives to understand about their husbands is mm-hmm. the way they're wired. They are wired physically. It's important that our wives know how we are wired as men. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, I'm not absolving us from understanding how our wives are wired.
Right. So we start on this basis regarding sexual fulfillment that a husband is responsible to sexually fulfill the needs of his wife, mm-hmm. and the wife is responsible for fulfilling the sexual needs of her husband. That doesn't come from sex therapy. That's right here in the Word of God.
Right.
1 Corinthians chapter 7. We have to accept that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Sex can never be used as a weapon, and we know that sex is so powerful that sometimes that can happen.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.